हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Shri Krishna Sandarbha, Adhyayana 5, Adhikarna 2, Equality of the Prakat and Aprakat Pastimes, Anucheda 160, page 25. Controlling the mind is praised. Etad anta samam nayo yoga sankhyam manishinam tyagas tapo damas satyam samudranta ivapaga. According to two intelligent authorities, control of the mind is the ultimate conclusion of all the Vedas, as well as all practice of yoga, shankhya, renunciation, austerity, sense control, and truthfulness. Just as the sea is the ultimate destination of all rivers, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47.33, Udriti Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. All the methods and all the scriptures have as their purpose control of the mind. End quote. That is the import of this verse. The final subject of Vedas is control of the mind. Astanga Yoga, the discrimination of soul and non-soul, Shankhya, though they have different methods, they all lead to control of the mind, just as all rivers lead to the ocean. For the gopis, the meaning is as follows. Just as by control of the mind one can pass over the material ocean, so you can pass over the pain of separation from me by mind control. That is because the uncontrolled mind makes you think that association with me, which is actually true, is false. The meaning of the words is the same in both interpretations. Sardartha Darshani, 10.47.33. Right, so they're thinking that when they're thinking of Krishna in separation, because he's in Mathura, that that thinking of him is not real, because they're saying, because he's not physically here. But he's pointing out, no, control the mind, don't let it think like that. You're actually directly associating with me. Right? Yeah. That whose goal is control of the mind is the Veda, samam nayaha. Though there are many paths, they all aim at controlling the mind. An example is given. It is like rivers ending in the ocean, because those who know the Vedas praise control the mind. You also control your mind, which thinks of separation from me. This is hinted in two verses. Briti, anticipating that the gopis will not be ready to accept his instructions on controlling the mind. In the next verse, Krishna reveals the reason for his separation from the gopis, to intensify their meditation upon him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that if one is within eyesight, then one is far from that person's mind. And if one is close to someone's mind, one is far from their sight. Since between the two, the mind is more important, Krishna desires that the gopis remain close in his mind and wishes that the gopis desire the same. Yeah, so that means there's being within sight or within physical, and there's the mind. But of the two, absorption in the mind is more important. Because that's actually then where the taste is coming from. It's the mind that tastes. Anucheda wants.
So we have this whole psychological thing that the cognition of senses is through the mind.
Mm.
So even if the person is physically present, if the mind is not like contemplating on it, then it actually doesn't exist for the person.
Mm.
It's like knowledge is polarized because of mind, it's called.
Mm. Yes.
then it goes to intelligence, or it goes to, it takes the permission of ego, then comes back to intelligence, and either way we can see.
Mm. Yeah, because the mind is controlling that whole system.
Mm-hmm.
So even though that you have separate sets, departments of the mind and the ego,
yeah,
and the intelligence, but it's the mind that actually moves the whole process between them all. It's the medium, and it's the one who makes the decision. It makes the initial decision on what to think about, and it makes the initial decision on what will be the conclusion. You know, what will be the path of application. Anucheda 161. If you teach us a method of attaining you, since you have a merciful heart, thinking we are suffering, then you should just appear directly before us. Therefore, your mercy is false. Yet tvaham bhavatinam vai dure varte priyodrisham manasas sannikar shartam mad anu dhyana kam yaya. But the actual reason that I, your beloved, have stayed far away from your eyes is that I wanted to intensify your meditation upon me and thus draw your minds closer to me. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-34. Read this one or else. 33. Udriti. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. O Uddhava, by this news you have doubled our pain. What can we say about messengers who are ignorant of time, place, and person? What can we say about you, who have no sense of discretion? You have brought this burden of Brahma Gyan this far, but who will buy it in Braja? Can the gopis, who from birth have been drinking the nectar of Krishna's beauty, now drink the bitter juice of the Brahma Gyana? In time of great famine, better that the women give up their lives in starvation than eat grass. Hear this great fool. This Brahma Gyana is certainly medicine for the sickness of material existence. Lying in the hearts of great saintly physicians. But can it be the cure for the great sickness of Krishna Prema? Did those doctors ever research this disease? Learning the scriptures on diagnosis and cure from Sandipani Muni, Krishna has taught you and sent the medicine to relieve the fever of Prema. You can now be our messenger. Take this medicine and go back to its sender. Drinking it, he will extinguish his fever of prema for us. Make him drink it so that no trace of fever remains. But may our fever from prema remain for 100 births. We will not touch that medicine. It is possible for torrents of water that could extinguish the forest fire to extinguish the fire of the lightning bolt. Is it possible for the torrents of water that could extinguish the forest fire to extinguish the fire of the lightning bolt? We find within this message something a little favorable to us. Is that his intention, or it is just an accident? We have no faith in him. When the gopis began to speak in this angry mood, Uddhava spoke to them. O ladies, just hear a moment with attention. As well as Brahma Gyana, I have also brought some other message. After speaking this, he then began to offer to them Krishna's words as they listened eagerly with faith. The general meaning of the message is as follows. Though dear to your eyes, I am now far from them. The reason for this is that I desire you to continually meditate on me. By that meditation, your minds get closer to me. Therefore, now I am very close to your minds. Another meaning for the gopis is as follows. Though you are dear to my eyes, you are now situated far from my eyes. But you are near my mind. From this, it should be understood that if one is within eyesight, then one is far from that person's mind. And if one is close to someone's mind, one is far from their sight. Since between the two, the mind is more important, I desire that you remain close to my mind. May that be your desire also. Sardar Tadarshini 10:47-34. The reason I now remain far from you, though I have affection for you, is to attract your minds. The desire that you meditate on me, or by being far from you, my mind will become attracted to you. If I am close to you, I will become absorbed in seeing you, not thinking of you. Anucheda 162. This is illustrated. Yata dura chare prishte mana avishya vartate sri nam chana tata cheta sanni krishte krishi kshi gochare. When her lover is far away, a woman thinks of him more than when he is present before her. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-35. The word cha indicates that the man separated from the woman also thinks more of the woman. Having instructed the gopis on controlling the minds and meditating on him exclusively, Krishna concludes his message by assuring the gopis that they will soon attain him eternally. This message implies that the gopis will be part of the Apakat Lila, which is manifest in Vrindavan eternally. Anucheda 163. You should understand that you can quickly attain me if your mind is absorbed in me. Mayaveshya mana kritsnam vimuktashesha vrityat anusmaran tyo mam nityam achiran mam upaishyata. Because your minds are totally absorbed in me and free from all other engagement, remembering me always, you will very soon have me again in your presence eternally. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-36. Udriti. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. O Uddhava, that message also you should keep in the treasure box of your heart. Though now Krishna is enjoying with the women of Mathura, sometime in the future he will be far from their eyes. At that time you can give this message to them, but right now this message is unacceptable in Braja. Right? So, means he's giving the message to the gopis, but they say it's useless to us. But in the future, now Krishna's with the women in Mathura, then at some point he'll be away from them. He'll go out for something. So now you can tell the message to them. Previously, even when Krishna was present in Braja, invisible to our eyes, and then was absent of a moment, that moment felt like 100 yugas. During that period of separation, appearing like 1 yuga, the gopis would have brought Krishna near with their mind thousands and thousands of times. Yeah, so he's pointing out is they're already doing this. When the gopi spirit spoke irreverently in this way, Uddhava replied, O women, if this message does not appeal to you, then hear another message from me. I have brought many messages. Again, he distributed Krishna's words to them. As you have completely rejected Visheshena Muktaha, objects like house and husband, your minds concentrate on me, and you constantly remember me. Because of this, you will very soon attain my personal presence. Sardarta Darshani 10:47-36. By freeing yourself from incessant thoughts of why I separated from you, your mind can become absorbed in me, Krishna. Remembering only my form of Krishna, Mom, quickly you will come to me, Krishna, by having me as the only object of your knowledge. So now, time that would be spent thinking of Krishna and the separation of thinking of why did he leave. So he's saying, don't do that. You just think of me, and then you'll be with me. Because that's the point. It's like they said before, when Krishna just for a moment be separated, then that felt like such a long separation. They had absorbed themselves in Krishna. So he's saying, just as in that situation you were doing, you should do now. Because there it's not like, oh, he walked, and in walking you go behind a tree. You know, why did he walk behind the tree? They just think of Krishna. So now that he went to Mathura, don't think, why did he go to Mathura? Just think of him. Because he's not different than his, you know, name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Hmm? Anucheda 164. Why do you not make yourself visible? He gives an order to make them understand that persons eternally situated in Vrindavan quickly attain him in another pastime, apricot. Ya maya kridita ratriam vane smin vraja astita alabta rasa kalyanyo mapur mad virya chintaya. Oh, fortunate ladies, although some gopis had to remain in the cowherd village and so could not join the rasa dance support with me at night in the forest, they attained me by thinking of my potent pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-37. Those who did not attain the rasa dance held that night, not touched by any obstacle in Vrindavan, asmi, attain me, the source of manifest pastimes. Markandeya says, quoted in Vasanam.
How do you understand the
Prinism?
They didn't attain it. Sorry. How did they attain him?
They did not, meaning they didn't physically attain him, but by meditating on him, then they attained him.
It said that they gave up their bodies.
Yeah.
That
means that mundane concept of that they're not. So, in other words, for those gopis, they weren't exclusively meditating on Krishna. They were attached to Krishna, but it wasn't exclusive. And so, therefore, then technically they're not qualified to go to the rasa dance, because it's yoga maya that allows things to move or not move. And so being not qualified because of that, then they just sat down or just stood there, whatever it was, in meditation on Krishna. And in this way attained, because now their mind became fully absorbed in him, they gave up that material concept. Right? Because even if you're in the spiritual body, if you're thinking that about the body, but not in the connection of its engagement in connection with Krishna, it's still a mundane concept. Because mundane is consciousness, not location. We always take it that it's time and space, but it's consciousness. Because when we think of logic is working within, you know, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. We never consider consciousness as part of the equation of logic. So that's where its faultiness lies. That's why through logic you can't know the Lord, because that's a matter of consciousness. But someone with Krishna consciousness can still use the mind, intelligence, and identity and senses to express things logically from the spiritual platform. So it's just that logic doesn't include consciousness. That's the problem with it. And so then when the consciousness is fully focused on Krishna, then any concept of that, because these are gopis that are coming up into the pastimes. It means they've been in the material world. And so they're coming up. Why you don't see that problem coming with those gopis that come down? There may be that separation and the poor virag and all those aspects and seeming obstacles. But the point is it just naturally just brings them to that state of being fully absorbed in Krishna. So they don't need to be purified. It's just a matter of sense coming first in absorption of Krishna is so wonderful, then they just do it over and over and over again. You know, so therefore every prakat pastime, they have this whole thing of becoming absorbed in Krishna and meeting Krishna for the first time. You know, so that's the wonderfulness. No?
Yeah. So those for sure sadhaka siddhas, isn't it?
Means they would be the sages from Dandakaranya or the personified Vedas or the Devakanyas, or like this, they would be, or any other group, you know. In other words, if we, at the end of this life, think of Krishna, you know, therefore going to Braja, to the Prakat pastimes, then we're going to be in that same boat, you know. Does that make sense? Now it's a matter of how serious we are. Then if we're serious to attain Krishna and don't get distracted, then we gain the association. Yoga Maya arranges the association of the eternal associates of Krishna. And by associating with them, then we develop that exclusive focus on Krishna. And then you can go on that first night to the rasa dance. And to whatever degree it's not, then you see is that there are basically three categories, three levels. There were those who, when Krishna blew a flute, they immediately went. Then there's those who, when Krishna blew the flute, because there was some little bit there, they got stopped by, you know, relatives and family and all that. But they, their meditation on Krishna at that moment, just there was just a little bit left, then became fully exclusive. And then by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, they could get out. And so they also went that night, but they had an obstacle and they got around it. Then the third level was, is they got locked up in their rooms and this and that, and Dad didn't get to go. But because of their absorption in Krishna, then they attained that. They gave up that any material conception. And so therefore then they came to that perfect platform. Then the next rasa dance, they could go. Like that. But it's just a matter of where you are. So it's just your determination, then, you know, your focus, that greed that it mentions, you want, then it works. You know, this idea, oh, you know, if it's supposed to happen, Krishna will make it happen. Yes, so if it's supposed to happen, lunch will happen. So then amrita is a one of the six kinds of occupations. So amrita simply means you don't and make any endeavor for your maintenance. And just accept whatever comes on its own. You don't endeavor for food, and then whatever comes along, that's what you eat. So you can do that, but people know are making endeavor for eating, but they're saying, oh, but if it's going to be prasad, then that Krishna has to provide. Right? That you're cooking, offer it to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So that's there. If someone brings up the point of, well, how is it they lift the bodies? It's like what we see in the whole the secondary creation when Brahma is creating. Then so many different things and mental states come up that he just goes, these are useless, and gives up those bodies, it says. But they're mental bodies. It doesn't mean the physical body. Because if you're in your spiritual body, how do you give up your spiritual body? But the point is it's the mental body that makes is the obstacle for attaining Krishna. And Sarup Siddhi means you have Sarup, that's not Siddhi. That's the illusion given by the Sahajiyas, that if you're so-called given your spiritual body or made aware of your spiritual body, that's called Sarup Siddhi, where it's not. That's called Sarup. Right? And so only when you become qualified because of that one-pointed focus on Krishna. You know, therefore, in Gita, that Vyavasthyatmika Buddhi is brought out there. That one-pointed determination is just about Krishna, that exclusive focus. Then you can go and take part directly in the pastimes. Being able to take part, that's called Sarup Siddhi. Right? And that's not the highest platform. Vastu Siddhi is the higher platform. Sarup Siddhi means now you're qualified to take part, but you still don't have prema. But the amount of bhava is so great that now it's you're qualified there. Because otherwise bhava is there, the ecstasy is there, but it's also going to have different directions. Because bhava is made up of 100, it means if you take prema and divide it into 100 parts, bhava will be one part. So you're on the platform of bhava when there's one unit. And if you're below, you don't have a full unit. You know, you have part, but it's in its natural form, you know, and that intensity is there, then that's called faith, ruchi, or asakti, depending upon the degree. And if it's dritta shraddha, means a firm faith, then, you know, it's from there it develops ruchi. But if it's weak faith, or pliable faith, as Srila Prabhupada calls it, then, you know, the amount will be less, you know, but it's still real. And then for the karmis, it's distorted. Right? So then when that one unit of faith increases, then at some point, then, now, because they say anartha nivriti, you have the anartha nivriti of between, you know, anishta bhajana kriya to anishta bhajana kriya, that anartha nivriti, giving up the materialistic kind of concepts that are there. But then there's still that identification with the subtle body, I mean the gross and subtle body, but it's all engaged, it's all for Krishna. But then the next, so that anartha nivriti brings you to bhava. Right? But then within Bhava, you see this in Ananta Nivritti, to give up all traces, all fragrance of material consciousness, you know, pious and impious. So we tend to think the pious is okay, the impious is bad. No, they're both useless. Because piety means pleasing Krishna, impiety means not pleasing Krishna. Right? So in other words, what in the Veda is called pious, that is Krishna's desire, means his desire of how the devotee would behave in interacting with him. Now if you just take the behavior and the activity without Krishna, on the material platform it's called piety, but on the spiritual platform it's called impiety. It's still impious because it's not connected to Krishna. So we want to give up all that, so then that's that subtlest stage. Then you come to being with Krishna. Then it's Surup Siddhi. Right? But then it's now a matter of that intensity is complete, where then one can be come to the platform of prema. So that's Vastu Siddhi. It means you don't have any connection with this material body. Right? Because we identified with it. We got this from that, so that has to go. So that's different from when the acharyas come down and seemingly take a material form, because they've never been contaminated. Right? And so being on that Nitya Siddha platform, then they don't have any problems. So then this body just happens to be the one that they're using. So they can function on the platform of prema in their consciousness and still be within this body, but we have to give it up to attain that. So does that make sense? Yeah. And anyway, the ecstasies of prema are being experienced in the spiritual body, not the material, because the material can't handle. It's not designed for it. I mean, as it is, people have enough trouble with the material pains and pleasures in the body. It gets too much for the body. Huh? Yeah. Those who did not attain the rasa dance held that night, not touched by any obstacle in Vrindavan, asmi. Oh, did we already do this?
Yes.
Markandeya?
Yeah.
Markandeya says, quoted in Vasana, Pasya, Tadanim evatam prakta srimantam bhakta vatsalam jnanata paramanandam krishnam gopala nayika. At that time, the gopis, through meditation, attained beautiful Krishna, full of the highest bliss, who is affectionate to the devotees. Right, so that time, through meditation attained Krishna. So that's Krishna's point, is that the gopis are thinking, well, that's not Krishna. They naturally do that. They just take shelter of Krishna. And the reason that it gives them satisfaction, because it is Krishna. But now the gopis are doubting all this meditation and that, and whether it was all real, or whether Krishna being here, did he actually have affection for us? So he's saying, give up all that doubt and just absorb yourself in him. And then you will, as before you used to attain, as they mentioned, because they're saying, oh, we used to do this before thousands of times. So what are you talking about? But Krishna's saying, do that. You know, but in this state of man, then they're you know, arguing with the thing, but it's also part of the taste. You know, it also brings out, because when there's man, it's also separation. So they're upset with separation. And then what's the solution? Having the mood of man, which is actually a feature of separation. Go figure. But the point is we know that from that, it just increases the position of happiness. Because of their being so absorbed in Krishna from that anger, that they're more, yeah, no.
I was asked, what's the difference between tikka and vashya?
I think tikka is a bigger. The vashya, I think, is like a full commentary, where they take on the whole thing to. Give a proper understanding of the work. Like say, if you're doing a bhasya on something, then whatever it is that work is trying to say, you are trying to bring out that depth and everything, that you're taking that approach. A tikka means you're commenting on generally on points. You know, you may be doing similar thing, but it's not necessarily that it has that necessarily that completeness. So generally, the tikkas are written on bhasyas. You're bringing out something, right? And then you have less than that as notes. Sometimes tikka is also taken as notes. You just have notes where you're bringing out something to just illuminate the point that's being made. Somebody doesn't know the background of it or something. You know, just as Uddhava said to Krishna in this pastime that you don't know it, so that the note may say, you know, what was that thing or that pastime. You know, or like Prabhupada saying, you know, it says that this happened in this place, and then he says that yes, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur then explains that, you know, if you take this particular train on this particular line down to this village and then go, you know, to 2 kilometers, you know, from that towards the north, and there's a village called this, though it used to be called that, you know, because it would be the older names would have been more Sanskrit-y, you know, and but the newer names tend to be more Prakrit. And so then, like that. So these are notes. Or pointing out that the acharyas, like even the acharyas and themselves in their commentary, will give notes. You know, just like, okay, Krishna in this last verse made this point, now the next verse will make this point. That's a note within their bhasya or tikka.
That's what they call riti?
Yes. Well, we're using the term riti. You know, and the Uddriti means someone else's point that we're using as notes. So basically for our commentary, means our study guides, we're just using the system of notes. Some of it we put out to make the connection, so you see the flow of it, but the main points are all taken from the acharyas. So that's what the Uddriti is. If it just says Riti, then you know that's just us making the point. And Uddriti, then it's what's relevant from the acharyas that expands on that point, gives a purport. Like that. So it's like Sanatana Goswami writes his books and then goes back and puts in a tikka. Means the book has already explained everything very nicely, but just to bring out, just in case you missed the point or some detail or some background or some connection, some sangati, like that, then he puts in his own tikka. So it's not a contemporary idea. I've heard a few times, you know, senior kind of scholastic devotees, because they're used to the Western approach, they're saying, wasn't that written as one book? No, you write the book because the book has a natural flow that everything's explained. Then they put a tikka so you can understand the book. But once you've read the book with the tikka, then the book makes perfect sense. You don't technically require the tikka, though we'll read it anyway. You know, it's just like if you read Prabhupada's Gita and the purports, then if you read the translations, you'll actually understand what's being said, but you still read the purports because the fineness that's there and other points to be brought up, because it's unlimited, so then it just keeps increasing. But it's just another way that you've written and then you put the tikka. So that becomes a problem because from not understanding this, that then thinking it's weird, is that then Prabhupada's given his you know, his translations and purports and all that. Then if we have some comments we want to make, instead of just making comments or notes or tikkas or something, you know, footnotes, anything, then they think, no, we have to change the original text. That's the way it's done. But that's what the way it's done amongst the non-Vedic, you know, or to be put it in, you know, non-Vedic, to put it in more, they say, pleasant terms, the Malechas and Yavanas. So why would we want to use that when Prabhupada forbade us from doing that? You know, it's just a matter, you don't understand it then, right? You know, it's just like Brahma Samhita, you don't understand the words because of that. Don't change the words. You can put footnotes that show what the word means. Just put it there, put the word. Here's the meaning of the word. You know, you don't change the thing. That's how he wrote it. He wrote that word for a purpose, because that word may have many synonyms. You may use the wrong synonym. You know, so therefore, you know, as long as we're conditioned, we should just do this. And if they're not conditioned, that's what they do. Because whatever a great man does, others follow him.
That's how the first Google Translate used to work. Choosing the wrong synonym.
Yes, yes, the Google Translate. Yeah, yeah, no, that's always funny. You heard those?
Which one?
Means where you have, let's say, from one language, and you put it into Google Translate, and it translates it into the other language.
Yeah.
How it comes out is so wild. Because they just use the wrong word, the wrong synonym. I think with time they've upgraded.
Yeah, now it's much better.
Much better.
Yeah,
but still,
you can tell that it's Google's not a, what do you call it? A native speaker.
Really not.
You know, it'd be like the difference between the lotus, the eyes, Lord Vishnu has eyes red like the rising morning sun. And the Lord has eyes like the red eyes like the backside of a monkey. That's the difference. And this is, you're talking scholars. So native speakers, and that's another thing. So that's why we're not native speakers. We don't speak, pure devotional service, achinta veda veda tattva. We don't speak that. You know, we speak, you know, basically, we speak, you know, I'm the controller and enjoyer, and especially nowadays it's new speak, which means, you know, that political correctness where you just keep changing it to mean whatever you want it to. So that's what we know how to speak. So put it in the commentary. And then later on, because they don't want to put it in the commentary, because then later on people figure out these guys didn't know what they're talking about. They don't want to be idiots. So you change Prabhupada so they never know. It's cheating. It's just cheating. It may be well intended. The intent may be good, but that's not the process. You write a tika. Prabhupada said, there'll be purports on my purports. So do that. Quit trying to redo it and present that you have the new thing. Just write the commentary. You say, oh, people won't understand, then the point is, then they shouldn't read that. You know, give them the pamphlet on chanting. That they'll understand. And then speak from there. But if you're not qualified to speak from there, because you can't spend half an hour explaining how we're not the body or how Krishna is the personal God and the impersonal is bogus, and that, then don't claim that you're the big logical and straightforward guy. You know what I'm saying? Prabhupada, you hear his lectures. He can talk for half an hour just explaining how the Mayavad's wrong logically. You know, I say, no, it's not Krishna's awakening, so he's conditioned. So if he's conditioned, why would we be listening to him? He'll give that example, he gives so many other examples like that. That means he can speak that way. And that worked. And where was he speaking? Who were the people that were joining? Generally, your bulk would be those at university. So they claim to be smart. Or they're there because they have some brain, unless their father's just rich, you know, like that. But, you know, that means them as a practical brain. You know, so the thing is it worked then. It worked for all those scholars. Why won't it work now? Times have changed. No, nothing's changed. People are more grossly, materially attached. And less qualified as human beings, maybe that's there. But that's the point. You know how to use the language. But you don't have to. You don't change what's there. You know. So that's the whole point. Is that therefore you can have a basya and tikas and all these different things on one thing. Does that make sense? You know, someone's written and then someone says, okay, you know, Sanatana Goswami's written this and then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur then writes a commentary on that. And then others will then, you know, do things, notes on that. So that's the system. You see, Prabhupada's quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vishwanath, he's, you know, quoting the Sri, even where it applies, he quotes Shankara, you know, where he says Narayan is supreme or he's the original. What is it? Narayana Paro Vyakta. That's Shankara. And there's another one where he says that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, all in the Gita. So that's how it's done. But to say, no, we have to change the words and all that, who are we? If the comment is, we're unqualified to write purports, then how unqualified are we to change the original? Absolutely unqualified. You know? And I, when I say absolute, I mean like in a Russian sense of absolute. You know, it's just nothing. So, write a commentary. Write a note, a footnote, anything. So, something that you're comfortable with. You know, you want to bring it across. Because if it's explained, white people won't do it. So many times people say something and then when you explain it, oh, okay, yeah, that's nice. Because you know the situation, therefore you're using the words. Someone else who doesn't know the situation goes, oh, those words are wrong. But when you point out, no, this is how it goes, then it goes back. Then they go, oh, okay, I didn't think of it like that. And then they'll respect more. As this here, so you understand what is said and you explained it logically. Therefore, then I'll listen to you. But if you change the words and the thing, then who wants to listen to Prabhupada? And who gets the credit for that? You know. It's not our call. Prabhupada with Krishna wrote the purports. Because he even read them, that it's Krishna speaking. So if you don't like the purports, you don't like the words, that means you don't like Krishna. They say, and at this point, I rest my case. The gopis, without any obstacles, Kalyanaha, or, O gopis, who can achieve me in your present bodies, Kalyanaha, means without any obstacles you can achieve. The only obstacle is just your thinking that it's not real. They did not have to attain him by giving up their bodies, right? So the forms that they have are perfect for that. Their mentality is perfect. There's just this little thing that's there. Giving up bodies during the Rasa dance was also an illusion. They achieved him according to Markandeya's words and as explained later. Right? So they're saying, attained him. Mai bhaktir hi bhutanam amritavaya kalpate. Rendering devotional service to me qualifies any living being for eternal life. 10:82-44. However, these gopis achieved him in other pastimes, in apricot pastimes, since they did not do so in Braja in the prakat pastime. This shows that this was another pastime, apricot, separate from the prakat pastimes in Braja. You and I exist in that pastime together. So Krishna and the gopis together in the apricot, because they've qualified to attain him like that. It means at this point in that absorption and all that, they've all attained the rasa dance, so they're all qualified to go there. But just to increase, because you see, as the eternal associates, they're on a certain level of what they're taking. So to bring everybody up to speed, right? Then it just increases everything. His attachment for them is increasing by being separated, and he wants them to do the same. Otherwise, if they come back, he will have gone to this level in separation, and they'll only be here. So then, how will they? It won't work. So then they come to there. Then these things are set. So that means that absorption in Krishna is the apricot pastimes, not the prakat. So, yeah. Udriti, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura elaborates on this topic in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Whatever pastimes occur by Krishna's eternal will in Gokula Vrindavan on earth also occur in Goloka Vrindavan. In the Padma Purana, it is written that Narada asked his guru, Sadashiva, O Lord, I have heard everything that I wanted to know, but now I wish to hear about the supreme path of Bhava. No, Bhava. Should be Bhava. Yes. Bhava. He's heard enough of Bhava. He wants to hear of Bhava. And not only that, he's hearing from Bhava about Bhava. And because son of Shiva is also known as Bhava. Yeah. Lord Shiva said, "O Narada, all of Krishna's servants, friends, mother and father, and his beloved gopis possess all good qualities. They are eternal. Whatever pastimes of the spiritual world have been described in the Puranas are also eternally present eternally in Vrindavan on earth within the cycle of material time. Going to and coming from the forests of pastures and herding cows of their friends are the same in both places. But the killing of demons that occurs in the earthly pastimes is present in the spiritual world only as a conception for nourishing the rasas." Right? So it's something they can talk about in nourishing, like you see in those chapters on like wonderful Krishna and some other. There's a few places in the chapters or the ends of chapters or sometimes the opening where they're absorbed in just how wonderful Krishna is and thinking of this and thinking of that and how he killed this demon and that. So that will go on in the Goloka, in the apraka. But in the prakat, it will happen in a seemingly, sequence within time and space. But the same thing is present within the apricot as a remembrance of these things. Because the same people were in both. So if it's already done in one, you don't have to do it in the other. Does that make sense? Yeah? That thought takes an active form of killing demons in the pastimes of the material world. So that thought that they're thinking about that, then it has an active in here. So actually it comes from the apricot. But that thought, then the pastimes appear here. And then from the pastimes here, that's the thought. So the point is they're all eternal pastimes. Just though one happens within the prakat, the other is in the apricot. So that's another thing when we think of... We'll say, going to living entities and this difficulty in time and space, where it's talking about apricot, they'll say it's prakat. Where it's talking about prakat, they'll say it's apricot. You know, so they're non-different, but there is a slight situation. One's high, one's situated higher, one's situated lower, you know. One is happening all the time, the other one is manifesting, you know, but that principle is happening all the time, but it's pastimes that are always going on. So it's not that the pastimes aren't there, it's just they're in thought. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, chapter 6. The following is also implied. According to my repeated promise to return to Vraja, coming quickly from Dwarka, controlled by your prema, I will show myself continually to all the people of Braja while adjusting everything so that there are no obstacles for you. The word asmin indicates that even now he remains in Vrindavan. Mm. Because I think in the Purusha Shukta, the Samaveda, because it has the Samans in there, so at one place there's the Asmin, 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 Nimna, Nimna. So, still talking about Vrindavan. Concerning this topic, the following must be said. Adhyatma Vidya, knowledge of Atma, the apparent meaning of the verses, was not beneficial for them since it is not recommended for devotees performing sila. Is that a concern? Was not beneficial for them, since it is not recommended for devotees performing sadhanas. For this Lord says, Tasman madpakti yuktasya yogino vai madatmanaha nagyanam nacha vairagya praya shreyo bhaved iha. Therefore, for a devotee engaged in bhakti with mind fixed on me, the cultivation of knowledge and renunciation is generally not beneficial for bhakti. Right? So that aspect is not... It's not beneficial for bhakti, knowledge and renunciation, because knowledge and renunciation will not generate bhakti. Right? As a secondary feature that is assisting in a particular situation, let's say it's Janmasthami, so we're fasting for Krishna. So it has that renunciation, but it's because it's centered around Krishna, and now you can do all the nice services for Krishna, then it has meaning. But otherwise, itself will not generate. Right. So that's also a mistake, we say, of the scholarly classes. They think that by having knowledge, then I'll understand everything. When no, You have to have bhakti, then you'll understand. Because when you're talking about the spiritual world, it's consciousness. Otherwise, it's a reflection. You're dealing with reflection here, but how do you understand the original? That's the difference in consciousness. Therefore, logic can't illuminate spiritual subject matter.
Like that. Also, the main thing, from knowledge and renunciation, one can basically regulate one's life so that he has the impetus to engage, or...
Yes, yes.
Not the impetus exactly, but...
Yeah,
yeah, he could.
It removes the obstacles.
It removes the obstacles to engage in devotional service, but unless one
engages,
it's not devotional service.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so it's secondary. It's dependent upon being engaged in Krishna service. In other words, if it's not engaged in Krishna service, then it's like Prahlad Mahar said, a waste of time. And if it is engaged in service, then it's the devotional service that's important. But there's a verse like that.
Yeah.
You know, that I think Narad Muni mentions that austerities and penance, if they don't attain to, you don't come to the point of bhakti, they're a waste of time. And if you're already on the platform of bhakti, what do they do? So in other words, he's not really glorified. They're used, but we catch on them too strongly, you know, or reject them too strongly. You know, the brahmacharis catch at this, all this, the grihasthas are all useless, and the grihasthas take it the other way, all this is useless. And so then they both miss the point. It's about engagement in Krishna service.
That. Also, Maharaj, we see that the platform of Nishtha is where that steadiness, since then the dependence on knowledge and renunciation should be completely
different. Yes.
Because then you're no more using karma and jnana, and because the faith in the devotional process is what is
the driving force. So then it goes quickly, because then from nishta, that nishta position of nishta, then one taste comes, and then that's the driving force.
Also, unless that is there, then there's always a, we mix our meditation with material consciousness. That's why that mantra upasana mai doesn't happen actually. Unless one gives up that mundane conception of...
Yeah, because otherwise we'll have those mundane... That's the, yeah, yes, exactly. That's why it's not recommended. Unless you're purified, how do you meditate on the Krishna and the gopis? Because one will generally put it into the context of the material. You know, while like servitorship and that, generally we don't necessarily, because, you know, since we think we're the lords and masters, the idea of being servant, that's, you know, very different. So we tend to not do that. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Since the ahankara is destroyed by bhakti alone, which does not give regard to other causes, jnana and vairagya are not recommended for my devotee, either for nourishing bhakti or for destroying ahankara, since they do not exhibit any benefit for the devotee. For a person whose mind is fixed on me, mad atmanaha, jnana, which differentiates self from body, and vairagya, which renounces enjoyment, are not beneficial since they belong to sattva-guna, whereas bhakti is beyond the gunas. It is a fault to bring in jnana and vairag when bhakti is present. Just as attachment and hatred are functions of avidya, jnana and vairagya are functions of vidya. Attachment and hatred, avidya, jnana and vairag are functions of vidya.
This is of maya shakti.
Yeah, so then you have the pious and impious. So attachment and hatred are the ones that give all the trouble. So that's avidya. And jnana and vairag, they're elevating from the mode of goodness, but they don't give bhakti. Right? Though they can be engaged. Right? Though jnana and vairagya naturally exist in bhakti, ahankara is destroyed by bhakti alone. Otherwise, other than bhakti, nothing else destroys the false ego. Even you see the persons who get liberated, they all come back because a false identity.
Yeah,
like that.
So the sthula sharir can be, in one sense, purified. The subtle body can be purified by jnana and vairagya, but the causal body is never.
No. Even you see, as those who merge in Brahman are like this, you know, that Mahakalapura, they don't have a gross or subtle body, but they still have the karana sharir. Right? And you can see that. You know, that's what Gopu Kumara was seeing. He sees them sitting there in the white light in white bodies. But he sees their forms like that, because they still think I'm the controller and enjoy that. Because otherwise, if you don't, if you're not an individual, how do you enjoy? And if you say, well, because I'm Brahman, the Brahman's already enjoying, so why does Brahman need you to go through all this trouble to come to the platform of enjoying? You know, if you think you increase, then that means then he's not unlimited. So then, because they don't accept qualities, they don't accept the personal. So, you know, from all angles, their philosophy is just, you know, untenable.
I would say it's very interesting, Maharaj, that through vairagya, generally we think that because now I have given up my attachment to this particular form, I'm good, then I have given up attachment. But the primordial level is giving up the conception of being attached to some material object.
Mm-hmm.
That has not gone at all.
No.
That will go only when...
It'll just get shifted to something
else. You have a higher taste performing bhakti, then it could be replaced, because naturally you should have living entities attached to something.
Mm-hmm.
It's either material or spiritual, it cannot exist.
Yeah, giving up the material doesn't mean you've technically attained the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or if you want to make a distinction, you may have attained the position of understanding that you're the soul, but until the soul understands themselves as servant of Krishna, you don't attain the transcendental.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, you will not attain Ananda. So, Brahma Ananda means Krishna, who is everything, he's his enjoyment. Like that. Because the other is not Brahmananda, it's the Ananda of not being materially entangled. But it doesn't mean you're getting Ananda from the spiritual platform. It just means that happiness of just not being connected to the material. And then that's the problem. Since it is material, it's temporary. Because as soon as the pain goes away, it means it's enjoyable as long as you're appreciating that it went from the other to this. So even their Brahmananda is dependent upon their appreciation of how they're not materially entangled anymore. And how nice it is not being materially entangled. So they have to have a connection with the material identity just to appreciate that I'm not that anymore. So I'm not that, but I'm still the controller and enjoyer. I got myself to here and I'm enjoying this. But with time, then how much can you do that? It's material. You can't keep thinking of how great it is to not be in the material world. At some point you get bored. You know, the living entity is active, and so then the activity that you know, since you don't accept spiritual, you go back to material. Either don't accept or don't know, you go back to the material.
Also, we saw that the name of Krishna is also present in the thousand names of Vishnu. But just chanting it in that context will not give one prema, because you're chanting with an idea to be liberated from material world. That was the whole discussion that we had.
Okay, so that's how even. So that's how Krishna's name can also be known as Tarak Brahma. No?
Yeah. So the whole point is, one can think that, no, he is performing devotional service, then it will not have the effect of getting one to the level of pure bhakti. Like the activity itself, like I'm the one who's chanting, I'm the one who's...
Yeah, so I'm the doer.
I'm the doer, then... It has the effect of like all the Shastra mentioned, that one is liberated, but that pure bhakti is not given, because that only when one surrenders to another pure devotee that one gets. So that giving up of the subtle, I mean the causal body, has a very strong connection on the positive side, that complete surrender instead of thinking the kriya and jnana aspects.
Yeah, I mean focusing on that as the main. It's that Krishna is the main. So Krishna's desire is the main. So as long as you think, no, no, but this is bad. Why is it bad? Because it does, this pleases Krishna. It's about him. Okay, so now that it pleases Krishna, now it's bad. It's like, no, it's about Krishna. So we'll keep bringing it to here when it's actually about there.
Because this is the one, the greatest problem for those who are in the Vedic fold. Because the activities are the same for mention. Even the Mayavadis do the same activities that what we do. They may even chant more than us. And they are chanting the holy names of the Lord itself most of the time, because they don't have taste in their activities. And they perform deity worship much more pakka, getting up much before us and doing the whole day. And then sometimes we get bewildered, like they may be on a higher stage. And they can speak also so much, enticing and all. So it's very easy for getting like, you know, bewildered by their association. That's the main catch, that's why we should not like, you know, move.
Yeah. Yeah, because then by that association. Yeah, because the whole thing is association, as we mentioned. So we take up, we get a jnana sukriti through association. We that comes to the platform of shraddha by association. We come to the platform of firm faith by association. Then we come to that platform of bhava by association. We come to the platform of prema by association. And then we eternally associate.
In association.
Yeah, in prema, eternally.
In association.
Yes, in association, yes. This will be explained in the 25th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.25, 24, or 11.25.32. 2.5? We shifted to Rig Veda. But it only has... Oh, I get it. So the Rig Veda only has 10 mandalas, but this is 11, so this is the secret one. Right? This is the... The Bhagavatam, the 11th.
You said that we shouldn't change, we should add tikkas.
Okay. Yes, so we added, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Okay. Moreover, okay, so these are, this is, okay. Moreover, jnana in the form of realization of the Lord, and vairagya in the form of distaste for material enjoyment, which are beyond the gunas, since they arise from bhakti, will naturally appear, it is said. Is this Jiva Goswami?
No.
Oh, this is all in the purport of Vishnu. Okay. Bhakti, pareshanu bhavo, viraktir, anyatra chaisha, trik eka kalaha. Prapad yamanasya yatasna. Yatas nata sius tushti pushti shud apayo nu gasham. Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things. These three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of Krishna. In the same way that pleasure, fullness of the stomach, and relief from hunger are experienced simultaneously with each bite for a person engaged in eating. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42. The word prayaha is used because at the first stage of shanta bhakti, sometimes jnana and vairagya are accepted without harm. The shanta bhakta engaged in austerities is described. Bhaktir muktyaiva ni vignetyata yukta viraktata anuj hita mumukshu ye mumukshaye bhajante t to tapasa, 15. The practitioners of austerity and bhakti are those who worship the Lord while practicing yukta vairagya, without giving up the desire for liberation. Oh, yeah, since obstacles to bhakti are destroyed by attaining liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam? No, excuse me.
Bhakti Rasamrita
Sindhu 3.1.15, Sardarta Darshani 11.20.31. So, on the level of the Shanta aspect, or appreciate, then the austerities may have some use. But the point is, it has to be understood that it's still mixed. Because if you're liberated, you don't have any obstacles of karma and yana. So if you're still having to use the karma and yana yana and vairagya to advance, you know, as a tool, that means that we're not liberated yet. Because once you're liberated, bhakti is the drive. Right? Because you have devotion. That's what drives you forward. Not that you're detached from the material world or you have knowledge about Krishna. It's the taste in serving Krishna. That is the drive. Does that make sense? So it's subtle. So it has its use, but you have to understand. You can say no, but it's used, but when it's used, it's not on the platform of that pure bhakti that you're talking about, that's free from karma and jnana. It means there's a mix of karma and jnana. Therefore you're using yukta vairagya and line like this. And so it's not a problem, it's part of the process. But ultimately it has to be understood as this is not what's making it work. These just create favorable environments. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like I was saying, you had that small elephant that was being trained how to put a garland on somebody. So now for an elephant, you know, they like to eat. So you give the garland to the elephant, immediately it swings it to its mouth. And so then they whack the trunk. It drops the garland. Then Mahu picks up the garland, holds it out. Elephant grabs it again, you know, and to eat it, you know. And then he does this, and this goes on all day, you know. But basically, after 3 days, the elephant, you can hand them the garland, and they can put a garland on somebody. Very far out. You know? So it doesn't think of the garland, it thinks it's what I'm going to do with the garland, not that I'm going to eat it. So the mentality changes. As long as it thinks this is for me to eat, then it gets whacked with the stick. But as soon as it understands, no, this is for putting on somebody, then it changes. So as long as we think that material world's for my enjoyment, then the karma and the jnana and vairagya, you know, the stick, you know, are used. So that you give up that attachment. No, you're not the body, you're not these things. Oh, this and those are all for Krishna, this and that. But as soon as it's about Krishna, then whenever you see something, oh, that would be nice to use for Krishna. You're like, we'd walk down the street in New York, you might notice a nice building, or you might not, if you had that inclination. And if you did, you'd think, oh, that'd be cool, what could he do with this, and like, you know, all that thing, or the architecture of this. Prabhupada would walk down the street in New York and think, well, that building would be a nice temple. You know, just seeing the location, it's good, it's attractive, it can hold people, it's in a good place for people, that, you know, it means whether it's next to the transportation or something like that, so they think, this is good. So he'll think, what's good for Krishna? And that's why the building is good. Brahma says, jnane prayasham upapashya namanta eva. The devotee gives up attempts at jnana. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3. Their pain would not be quelled by hearing from him about liberation. For the devotee is performing sadhana. Consider everything except his dark, attractive form to be despicable. Swarga pavarga narakeshvapi Tulyarta Darshinaha. The devotees see liberation and heavenly enjoyment as hell. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.17.28. Nat yantikam vijanan yantyapi te prasadam. Persons who have realized you do not regard attainment of impersonal liberation as your mercy. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.15.48. This would be completely contrary to his rasa with them. Previously, Uddhava had said, Sru yatam priya sandesho bhavatinam sukha vaha. My good ladies, now please hear your beloved's message, which will give you happiness. So it means it's to give them happiness, right? So that's the point, why the message is given. Right? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47:28. So therefore it can't be about... So for them, as if devotees consider liberation or the heavenly planets as hellish, and so only things in connection with Krishna and that relationship with Krishna, that taste of that rasa with Krishna, give them happiness. When Uddhava says, this message is for your happiness, sent by Krishna, that means it can't be about karma and jnana, liberation and jnana and vairag. It has to be about their expression of pure devotion and how to cultivate and encourage that. So when he says, this is what it says here, but then for the gopis it means this, that's the real meaning. Right? Does that make sense? So one has to not actually be so mature, you know, when the acharyas point these things out and they point out what's the real meaning. But we prefer to take the other seemingly obvious meaning or the quote-unquote literal meaning in their minds. So then that becomes, no, you're not a scholar like you think you are. You're a fool. Because you're given this higher thing and you take it for something lower. You know what I'm saying? That's a fool. So even though, yes, you may have great academic, great scholastic, great intelligence, you know, even great respect for having those things, but if it's applied not for going beyond that to the transcendence, then you're a fool. Like that. So at this point, this is where then everything goes. That's why then you discuss about the Brajvasis in general, but the gopis in specific. At this point, all the idea that I'm a great scholar, I'm a great devotee, I'm a great guru, I'm a great leader of devotee, all these things have to go. You know, I'm so austere, I chant so much, I know so much, I read so much, I'll do all these things like that. Then they all have to go to understand this. Otherwise, they're simply obstacles, that's all. And the gopis have no obstacles, so they can hear it. In other words, if we don't understand it, and we don't think it's this, it doesn't matter, because what Krishna says means something to the gopis. So if we want to appreciate what they're appreciating, then we have to give those things up. And if we want to maintain them, we can. But then, what will we do next life? Sridhar Swami says in describing the minds of the gopis, quote, do you make us greedy for you like others by Atma Vidya? We cannot tolerate separation from you, ornamented with all beauty. Thus Krishna speaks in a manner that Vidura spoke a secret message to the Pandavas. The gopis, like Yudhishthira, understood the real meaning. Right? So he's speaking Atma Vidya, but he's making the gopis greedy for him, Krishna. Right? And so the gopis understand the real message. But it doesn't mean that they don't have some fun in between, arguing and all that, because that's just because then he'll go back and tell that they said this, that, and it'll give him Krishna great pleasure. Because right, some like Uddhava, you know, every word, every nuance, every how it was said, the moods, everything he'll remember. Right? Krishna spoke thus to the gopis. Riti, having heard that they could be associated with Krishna again, the gopis finally were satisfied. Their satisfaction is expressed by their worship of Uddhava, who fulfilled their desires by carrying Krishna's confidential message to them. This is expressed in the next two anuchetas. Maybe it's better than that. Instead of saying it's few, just say the next Mm-hmm. It means here you said two, but I'm talking about in the other one. Mm-hmm. We said the previous three did this, the next, instead of saying few, just mention the number. Mm-hmm. Then it's very exact. So, Anucheda 165. According to the previous explanation, not about Atmajnan, Sukadeva concludes, Evam priyatam adishtam akarnya vraja yoshita ta uchur udhavam pritas tad sandesha gata smitihi. The women of Vraja were pleased to hear this message from their dear Krishna. His words having revived their memory, they addressed Uddhava as follows, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-38. By Krishna's instruction, they remembered that they were eternally united with him. Tat sandesha gata smitihi. Therefore, they were pleased, pritaha. They were satisfied from realizing aprakat pastimes, and they felt separation from seeing the prakat pastimes. The two feelings arose in them. So the separation brought out the wonderfulness of the aprakat, and that's so wonderful. But then they're in the situation they're separated, so it just kept nourishing each other. So they understand it's real, so it's working. So in here, it's also, as we said, they were pleased. But that being pleased, that separation, it's not that you could say, well, why didn't they just do that straight? Because it's also a pleasure that they're displeased, and Krishna has to, through the message, please them. And Uddhava, as his messenger, has to, you know, put in his work to speak the right thing in the right mode, and that, because the messenger means they have to represent who they're being sent by. And so now they're pleased. So then that being pleased by that effort is wonderful. So therefore, every prakat pastime, this happens. Right? It's pleasing that they're in a seemingly unfortunate situation, and Krishna makes the endeavor to please them. So, yeah. Anucheda 166. Their satisfaction is described. Tatas ta Krishna sandesher vyapeta viraha ishvaraha udhavam pujayam chakrur gyatvatmanam adhokshacham. Krishna's messages, having relieved their fever of separation, the gopis then worshipped Uddhava, understanding about themselves and Krishna. 10:47-53. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. When out of sorrow the gopis' hopes for Krishna's return grew dim, and they became eager for death, Uddhava made them happy by speaking differently. Very confidential matters. That is the significance of the word after that, tata. They were relieved of the fire of separation by other messages, which were not different from the previous confidential messages. Then they became satisfied. Though Sukadeva has not described those messages, one can understand them by the results they had on the gopis. Right? So he just said, I have other messages, so they all came close. And in this way they were satisfied, and like this and that. So the point is because if we don't understand these messages that are given here, that these are useful for us as sadhakas, you know, why will we understand the others? You know, because, oh, how could Krishna leave? This is very, like, this and that, and we're arguing that, and this is not nice. And we don't understand. So why would we hear other ones? Quote, O women most dear to my life, close your eyes in front of Uddhava, who has been sent by me. Just as the cowherd boys closed their eyes and were delivered from the forest fire, closing your eyes, I will deliver you from the fire of separation. Just see my power of yoga. Hearing this, they closed their eyes. In a flash of a second, Yogamaya brought forth millions of years of time. And in that expanse of time, Krishna performed his rasa dance, played dice, drinking soma rasa, heavenly beverage, water pastimes, and swing pastimes, so that they forgot the pain, I guess, of separation completely. Seeing that they were filled with bliss, Uddhava said, "Now, ladies, open your eyes." They opened their eyes and recognized that they had taken a new birth, along with the bestowal of a thousandfold bliss. When they had closed their eyes, Adha, downward, Aksha, eyes, Ja, birth, Adhoksha, Jam.
Hmm.
Adhoksha, Jam. So Adhoksha, Jam, as a new birth. They then worshipped Uddhava. Yes, and that was it. Millions of years. So so in that moment when they had their eyes closed and they're meditating on Krishna, then they were absorbed in the uppercut pastimes for millions of years. Right? But here it'll just be a few moments. But millions of, so then they would say, okay, then we're situated there.
Such a far out meaning for the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Adokshada is for the gopis, what does Adokshada mean?
Yeah, the downward exam. Yeah, Adokshada, then that reminds me of this pastime with the gopis when they look down and then. Or women filled with prema. If you are still trying to give up your life, just listen. Do not doubt that hearing of your death, I also will give up my life. Swearing a thousand times, I say that you should remain alive. Though I am trying to go to Vraja at every moment, I am unable to go. I fear that it is because of the time, karma, prema. Those characteristics have been explained, or some obstacle. Oh, I see, time, karma, prema, whose characteristics have been explained, or some obstacle. Maybe put a dash between prema and or some, so that it's caught by this. Yeah. By such messages, their pain of separation, caused by their thinking that Krishna had no love for them, was dissolved completely, the abheta. They recognized Krishna, Adhoksaja, as similar to themselves, being afflicted by pain of separation, Atmanam. Or they recognize Krishna as their very life, Atma, Om, and Anam, breath or prana, Atmanam. And then they worship Uddhava. Right? So then, what it got, Krishna says, the double meaning. So you see in all these, and it has a double. So on one side, it looks like it's all the jnana. And you see, especially the gopis and that. It'll be all these things of Brahmanya, and it's cloaked in there. Does that make sense? Well, you see, generally, I think with Nanda and all that, it's more cloaked in the Paramatma.
Yes.
Jnana. So then, if they go that day, those two. Because I think the Sundani will be, I mean, on that way, then the shadow of. The Kladini. No?
Yes,
ma'am. Okay. O Uddhava, you have spoken well. Even though it is difficult, we will remain alive. If you had not given this message, we would have died, and everything would have been destroyed. You have done a good act by fulfilling our desire to protect everyone, and thus we worship you. Right? So, otherwise, because then Krishna would have been unhappy, everything would have done. So, what would happen in the pastimes? Everything would just disappear, because the whole point of Mathura and Dwarka is simply an extension of the Braj pastimes to facilitate and increase, nourish the Vrindavan pastimes. They're not the primary pastime, primary is Vrindavan. And these are all there just to support that. They add the flavor. So then if they had left, then that would have been no meaning. The external meaning that the gopis accepted Paramatma, Adhoksija, as Jivatma, Atmanam, is another case of a statement used to bewilder the asuras. For the Prema Bhakta, oneness of the Lord and Jiva is insipid. What to speak then, how repulsive it would be for the crown jewel among the devotees to think such a thing. Sridhar Swami, knowledgeable of the purports of the scriptures, has said, any person who has become mad with bliss in the nectarine ocean of topics of Krishna thinks of the four goals of human life as insignificant, like grass. It can be seen that it is not possible that that full developed prema can ever become covered by a strong dose of Atmajnana. When Vasudeva and Arjuna saw the Maheshwarya aspect of the Lord, their parental and friendly relationships were covered by Dasya Bhakti, but not by Brahma Jnana. It has been seen that the inhabitants of Braja were merged in Brahma Jnana, but this was only to show that they have no taste for Brahma Jnana. Well, Krishna brought them to the lake of Brahman, and after merging them in it, brought them out. The words brought them out or delivered them is used, just as the jivas are all delivered from the ocean of samsara. The inhabitants of Braja were delivered from the repulsive Brahman. The gopis had developed monistic Atmajnan, then they would not have spoken to Balaram in the way they did when he later returned to Braja. Quote, the gopis, respectful on seeing Balaram, asked him while laughing, is Krishna dear to the women of Mathura happy there? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.65.10. Other gopis said, it is astonishing that the intelligent women of Mathura have faith in the words of the ungrateful, fickle-hearted Krishna. Other gopis said, they must have developed faith in his words by an increase in lust through his sweet, laughing glances. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.65.13. Such future words spoken by the gopis indicated their ignorance of Atma Brahman, and jealousy could not be possible. They had attained the stage of Brahmagyan, right? So they had no ignorance. They were not interested in Brahmagyan because they're showing a jealousy. But if you're on the platform of Brahmagyan, that, you know, that liberated on the Brahman platform, then you wouldn't be jealous. So it's not. It's something beyond. It's the transcendental jealousy of the gopis. They understood what he taught about themselves, Atmanam, and Krishna at Hoksajam. Sugadev spoke thus the verse, right? So they're the Atmanam, he's the Hoksajam, and then they see how they're, you know, they're having that one mood, right? You know, they're missing him, he's missing them. And by remembrance, then they're both, you know, absorbed in, it means both absorbed in the eternal pastimes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.